Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The text for the sermon this morning is the 13th verse of the 7th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, "Weep not." Our gospel lesson this morning is one that tugs at our hearts. In our lives, we all expect that we will bury our parents. The woman had probably already grieved over both of hers. We expect one spouse to have to bury the other. This widow had already buried her husband. But now we have the unthinkable. She has to bury her only son. St. Luke doesn't tell us how old her son was, but in the eyes of a mother, she was burying her little boy. Those of you who have attended funerals for young children have a sense of just how painful it is. The small casket, the unspeakable pain, the ultimate question, one that can only be addressed at the foot of the cross. Why? This grieving widow, following her son's bier on a dirt road outside of the small town of Nain, accompanied by mourners and musicians, is an icon of death. She is a bold statement of the law for you and me, for she reminds us that we are all the children of Eve. We are all born into the curse of the fall of man, bearing the same curse that was promised to our first parents. In the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. In our gospel lesson, we are told, "And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her." The word compassion here describes the one who can raise the dead and end the mother's grief. The word literally means the complete outpouring of the inward parts, even a pain in the bowels. Jesus' entire being went out to her, so much so that helping her was everything to him. Later in Luke's gospel, and as we've just heard a few weeks ago, the Good Samaritan has compassion on the victims on the roadside. And the father in the parable of the prodigal son will have compassion on his son when he returns in repentance. The word compassion then is loaded with Christ and his love and his mercy. And it is here and in the other examples that we see that Jesus' reason for existence is to love, and his main expression of that love is his compassion for us. The complete outpouring of Jesus' mercy for us can be seen in his incarnation. Our Heavenly Father saw us in our need. He beheld the great funeral procession of all mankind, of our grief and our sorrow, our sickness and our suffering, our death and our dying, and he had compassion. He decided to abolish death by becoming man, God with us as one of us. God in human flesh and blood. And he became man so that he could put that body on the cross, to die our death, to end death's awful reign, and to give us immortality of eternal life. For by his death he has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. Then what happens next? And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. According to the Holiness Code in Leviticus, anyone who touched a dead body, or a bier in this case, was made unclean. But the case doesn't apply to Jesus. Jesus' own holiness overrode that Holiness Code. For instead of the dead body infecting Jesus, Jesus purifies the dead body with new or renewed life. And so the pallbearers stood still And Jesus said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." To Jairus' daughter, he once said, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." To Lazarus, he would say, "Lazarus, come forth." The word of God is powerful enough to give what it says and to fulfill its own demands, even when raising the dead. The same command to raise up out of death itself is given to each of us in our baptism. Baptism is our journey from the darkness of death into the joy of everlasting life. In some of the early baptismal services, the order of baptism begins just before sunrise on Easter morning, the darkness of the night reminding us of the darkness of death. After baptism, in the name of the triune God, the newly baptized process from a separate room for baptisms into a sanctuary at sunrise on Easter morning. Satan has been renounced and the darkness has been conquered. It's as if Jesus said to us, "Young man or young daughter, I say to you, arise." And he gave us to Holy Mother, the Church. And we heard that, "And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother." The word of God is powerful and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It kills and makes alive, as 1 Samuel puts it. At God's word, death becomes life again, sorrow is turned to joy, and a funeral is turned into a welcome back. How does the crowd respond? We are told that fear seized them all, and that they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has been risen among us. For Jesus is the one who speaks for God, whether he is forgiving sins or raising the dead. And the crowds got it right when they said, "God has visited his people." For he visits his people to restore them to life in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And this is true for us here today as well. God has raised us from the dead in baptism. He restores us to life every time we receive him in Holy Communion and hear the words of absolution. And then what happens next? We are told that the report about him spread throughout the whole of Judea and the surrounding country. The report was the good news that the Messiah had arisen among God's people. And after his resurrection, the good news of life and immortality for all men spread from Jerusalem through Judea and all of the surrounding country and even to the ends of the world. We are both the recipients and the heralds of this good news. We have heard the report of Jesus' death for our sins and his resurrection to life. We believe it. And by believing, we have life in his name. And not just as the gospel cries out to be sung, not just spoken, and brought life and immortality to life. It's too good to keep to ourselves. We are to tell the good news about Jesus throughout the whole of our region, throughout all of the surrounding country. For each of us, Christ preaches the good news that he has abolished death and brings life and immortality to light. It is here that we come to Holy Mother, the Church, mired in the muck of our sins, both great and small. In repentance, we approach the altar of God, looking, hoping for forgiveness. But it is here that we receive compassion ourselves. And receiving that compassion, then, let us glorify God and rejoice, because our Lord has commanded us to arise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Remember to pray.